Hello, and welcome to Big Game Hunger, a show where me and a guest craft the big next game every episode. We'll be taking three random ingredients and blending them into one incredible game. I'm Jenna Stieber, and I crave content. And I'm joined by Jacob Andrews. Jacob, who are you, and what do you have a hunger for?
I'm Jacob. I'm most known for being on Drawfee as one of the hosts. And I have a hunger for, you know, power, revenge. What are some other things that always go well when you have a hunger for them?
Love.
A hunger for love, but in an unhealthy way. So it's sort of like obsession.
Maybe you have a thirst for love. Wait, a hunger for love and a thirst for lust. Is that how it is?
I think so, because that's why you're thirsty, right? When you're like lustful, you're thirsty. But when you're loveful, are you hungry?
I don't know what loveful implies.
I don't either.
But it sounds like you're full.
But not me. I'm full of the hunger for love. And I will get it at any cost.
We're going to get you the power of love, and you're going to be much stronger and happier. Should I have introduced you as Jacob Drawfee?
You could have. I do sometimes go by that. When I send like emails, like sometimes we do like commissions and stuff from our Patreon, I'll send the email and sign it Jacob Drawfee, as though we're all just like one big family.
Jacob, what kind of games do you play other than Helldiver 2?
Other than Helldivers 2, I am a big fan of the whole Souls-like group of games, anything in that realm. I'm also a big roguelike person.
Do you like those genres, or do you just like genres that have like at the end?
It's really the word like. I have to like them because it says like. It's sort of a command.
That's how they get you. What's your favorite Souls-like game?
It's always a tough one. So my favorite is Dark Souls 1, but I don't think it's the best.
Okay.
It's just that it was, you know, it hit at the right time, and so I became like deeply obsessed with it.
All right.
I think that the best one is Bloodborne, probably.
Okay.
Overall.
Close one. That was we're about to get somewhere. We're about to go somewhere.
Are we going to have some disagreements?
I just think Bloodborne is factually the best, but I can appreciate it not being your favorite. Yeah.
Yeah, it is factually the best. It's probably my second favorite. And then I think probably Elden Ring, and then Sekiro, and then Dark Souls 3, and then Dark Souls 2.
Okay, that's a good lineup. Did you play Demon Souls?
I did. Oh, that has to go in there somewhere too.
It doesn't actually have to. It's the worst. You can just not include it on the list for sure.
It's above Dark Souls 2 for sure.
Really?
I don't want to get into the Dark Souls 2 debate because many people love it. And I respect that they feel that way. But I have an active disdain for it.
I feel that way about Demon Souls, which is just in so many ways the most rough and weakest iteration of what would become the Souls-like.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I did play it back when it came out, and so I do like it in that sense. I think going back, it's not as doesn't hit the same, but
yeah. Wow. So you've been on the Souls train for a minute.
I have, yeah. It was kind of completely random. It was one of those games that like someone online said, this game is being overlooked. And I tend to like things that have like a knight with a sword on the cover of them. I'm just a big like fantasy head. And so I was like, there's a knight with a sword on this game and people are saying it's good and other people don't know about it. So I can feel superior if I play it and like it. And then I got it and I played it and I did not like it. I actively disliked it. And then about like, you know, 3-4 months later, I came back to it again. It like stuck in my mind, like something about it, like the weirdness of it, I think.
Okay.
And so I came back and then I played through the whole thing and I was like a convert.
I feel like that's the soul's approach, right? Is you try it, you hate it, and then it plants its larva in you and you have to circle back to it months later. I feel like that is how most people deal with Souls games.
It's just like the loathsome dung eater.
Yes, it's just like the loathsome dung eater.
He puts this little seed in you.
Stop.
and then you are cursed.
All right, I'm making a note to label this episode as explicit. Any discussion of the loathsome dung eater.
That's not just explicit. He's chill. He's cool.
He's literally loathsome. It's literally in his name, Jacob.
Aren't we all a little loathsome, though?
Maybe. I was thinking really hard last night. I've approached the first like 22 episodes of this show, Big Game Hunger, trying to make a nice place for content creators that I like to be creative. And to create like a welcoming environment for people to come and be creative and be vulnerable with their creativity. But I'm starting to think maybe I want to do a heel turn and create a really antagonistic sort of experience. So I'm strongly considering becoming the villain of my own podcast.
Oh, and just, I love that. Just create a vile place, an unsafe place.
Yes, a place where people are feeling constantly challenged and upset about what I've done to their beautiful ideas. So I haven't at this exact moment in this recording decided whether or not that's going to be how this recording pans out. Okay. So at the end, you'll have to let me know if you had a good time or a bad time. And then I'll tell you if I was being purposely villainous or not. Anyway, yeah, I'm entering my loathsome era, I think.
I love that for you.
Thank you.
I think I've been there for a while myself.
Yeah?
And there's a lot about it I can really recommend.
Ooh, like what? Like what is the best part about being loathsome?
I think in order to be loathsome, you have to begin disregarding outside perception of you in a way that can be very freeing.
Okay.
So sometimes we'll be streaming or something and I'll see like somebody say some dumb stuff in chat.
Yeah.
And normally pre-loathsome, I would be like, I'm just going to let that go by and move on in order to, you know, maintain a positive atmosphere.
Yeah.
But post-loathsome era, I'm like, I'm going to turn my generally biting and sarcastic tone towards, I'm going to aim it at that person who didn't see it coming and probably didn't want this level of interaction. And I think in doing so, I feel freer and I also teach a lesson, which is that you have to, you know, remember you're talking to real people when you're online and that they can see what you say and respond to you.
Okay. Do you feel like all the work you've done to create a wholesome and welcoming environment makes it more devastating when you're loathsome?
I think so. Yeah. I think it's like we planted a beautiful garden and then I'm just like this big nasty bug who's like in it. And sometimes I pop out. And because the garden is so beautiful, my like horrid Kafka-esque form is like even more reviled as a result.
So you're not even like a bee in this insect metaphor who's pollinating but also stinging. You're like a nasty giant cockroach.
Yeah, yeah. Like an unnameable bug. Composed of the worst parts of all the bugs you hate.
Well, you're not making a strong argument for watching you stream, but people should definitely watch you stream.
Well, I think if they hear that, they'll know.
Yeah.
If it's for them or not.
I think people should watch your stream. They should watch Secret Sleepover Society, but I think they should also be aware if they talk shit, they're going to get hit.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm going for. It is, to be fair, largely a very positive and uplifting place.
Yeah.
And we do try to maintain a very welcoming and happy vibe. It's just that occasionally you got to know there's a threat. You got to know that, like, you can't get away with anything.
It's like the catfish in the pool of other fish. You keep the catfish there because it keeps the rest of the fish swimming. You're the
exactly.
catfish in your own pool.
Yeah, and like you never know when I'm just going to like whip around and like eat a pigeon directly off the banks of the river. Like in that, did you ever see that Planet Earth episode?
No.
Okay, so there's these like catfish in like France or something, and they literally will pop out of the water and just like grab a pigeon.
What?
And pull it under and eat it.
Wow.
And the pigeons keep standing on the bank of that river for some reason that is beyond my understanding. But it was like so surprising and shocking to see because I didn't think a catfish possessed that power.
No, I had no idea.
But that, in that way, I am a catfish.
Wow.
And in the stream, because you don't know if I possess the power to suddenly.
Wow. And you're literally in a stream.
Right? I'm literally in a stream.
That's,
wow.
Yeah. Wow. Wow, Jacob.
The metaphor.
That's so smart and creative.
Oh my God. Thank you.
All right, let's roll some
props.
Oh no,
she's getting ready to heel turn.
No, I'm creating a wholesome and welcoming environment for you to be vulnerable and creative in.
I see the catfish look in your eyes.
All right, let me roll on my ingredient list.
Oh, yes.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull the three that I gathered from the prompt list that I rolled. And now I'm going to ask you, do you want to participate in the Grant Howitt Daggett? Do you want to participate in the Grant Howitt Dagger Dartboard? I named this really bad on purpose because I started my villain era with myself.
The Grant Howitt Dagon Dartboard.
That is basically what it is, which is a list of insane prompts that Grant Howitt gave me. He gave me like 30 prompts, and they're all incredible, and they're all very difficult. So if you say yes to those, I will flip a coin and have you call it, and then we'll decide if we want to use that.
So do I get to hear the prompts you rolled before I make this choice, or is it a blind selection I have to make?
Last time I did this, it was a blind selection, but I can. Do you feel like a cowardly baby who wants to know the three prompts I rolled first, or do you just want to go for it?
No, I think I feel big and strong and cool and confident. And so therefore, this is not based on peer pressure, by the way. I wanted to do this. This is what I wanted to do. I think we should go for it.
All right. Heads or tails?
Tails.
All right. This is another success. All right. I'm going to roll one additional D20 and then we'll see what we ended up with.
Oh, I'm excited.
I am too. These are all so bonkers. And I'm so excited for people to slowly see what these even are. All right. So the replacement word we got was a replacement for an adjective. So our Grant Howitt Dagger Dartboard adjective is obtuse, which it feels like appropriate obtuse for the vibe what we're doing here. The premise comes from Eduardo Valdez Hevia, and it is parasite.
Okay.
Yeah. And our type of gameplay is pretty basic, FPS.
FPS.
Yep. So we're making an obtuse parasite FPS.
I really like that.
It's a good combo of words. For the audience, if you don't know what obtuse is, I've looked up the Merriam-Webster. It is lacking sharpness or quickness of sensibility or intellect. Which, how is that even going to apply to parasites?
I don't know. All I can think about is saying that FPS stands for foul parasite.
Whoa. Okay. That's a great starting point.
It's a foul parasite because it goes in like the loathsome dung eater direction.
Oh my God. You're making our off-brand Elden Ring. Is that what we're doing? It's an FPS for some reason?
It's an FPS for some reason in which you are the foul parasite.
But also, if you split up parasite as in P-A-R-A-S-I-T-E, it implies there is some sort of site of para.
Yes, paranormal perhaps.
Ooh, paranormal or paratrooper if we're doing FPS. what is para short for? Para's got to be short for something, right?
Yeah, everything is.
What is? It's probably Latin.
Yes, everything's Latin.
Everything's Latin these days. Have you guys noticed? Oh, it's Greek. Shit.
Oh, damn it.
It means beside, next to, near, from, against, or contrary to. Again, just a really good... I mean, this really is tapping into an antagonistic energy.
Yeah, totally. Do you know what game I was thinking about?
What?
Do you remember the game? I think it was called Geist. It's like a GameCube FPS where you play as like a ghost.
Whoa.
And you like inhabit different creatures and enemies and stuff.
Oh, I'm looking at pictures of this now. It looks extremely GameCube.
It was potentially the most GameCube for like a game not made by Nintendo that was on GameCube.
So you're thinking like an FPS where you're a monster, maybe? Like
maybe.
You are the parasite?
Yeah. That could be. There could be something there.
Okay, I like that. So if we're pulling on the loathsome dung eater, which, you know, thank God this guy's finally getting.
I hate that whole sentence.
if we're milking the loathsome dung eater for ideas.
Now it is explicit. You did it though, not me. It is explicit now.
If we're working over the lonesome dung eater to get whatever juice we can get from the concept, I think the foul parasite, I do think he's got to be really nasty, because that is the thing about the dung eater. He's a nasty, nasty boy.
Yeah, he's the worst.
Is this going to be a nasty FPS?
I think it should be a nasty FPS. I kind of feel like we've lost sight of the nasty FPS in like the modern gaming era.
Yeah, I feel like FPSs are so about being cool and powerful.
Yeah.
I mean, Helldivers, a very fun game, but it's not very nasty. I mean, the bugs explode, but...
Yeah, there's some nasty stuff in it.
You know what is a good nasty? It's not an FPS, but it is kind of a nasty shooter. Splatoon. Because you're just like getting gunk everywhere.
Because you're gooping and gunking,
You're gooping and gunking. And so because there's two options here. There's modern nasty, which is, I think, loathsome dung eater is just nasty. He's just a nasty sewer boy. Mm-hmm, or there's 90s kid culture nasty, which is like getting slimed.
Yeah, yeah, like gack.
Getting gacked? Yeah, did you have gack?
Getting gacked.
Growing up, did you ever have like a little container of gack?
Oh, I had gack.
Oh, you had gack, of course.
Because you could fold it over and it would make like a fart sound when you squeezed it.
Which is nasty.
Which was nasty, yeah. 90s nasty.
Do we feel like, do you have a strong pull in either of those directions? Or do you have a third kind of nastiness that you want to share with the class?
I'm kind of thinking of like a combo nasty.
Okay.
In the vein of like, because it is 90s-esque, but it's more like the 90s PC gaming nasty.
Okay.
It's been like thrown back to now with like the modern, like, you know, boomer shooters, as they call them, with like the gross textures.
Yeah.
And they're like muddy and like inhabiting the world is nasty.
Okay. Okay. I kind of like that. Yeah. That was something I feel like so many FPSs. I mean, this is something that was always lacking in Playground Battle Unknown. That wasn't it.
It was good enough for me.
Okay, yeah, PUBG, as everyone knows it and remembers it, is that you're kind of crawling around in the mud and stuff, but you ain't getting nasty.
No, you're not getting nasty.
I like the idea of an SPF where you're being really indulgent with like splatter, because most FPSs are indulgent with blood splatter only.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really narrow view of splatter.
Yeah, a lot of things can splatter.
Yeah. What's some of your favorite splatter?
I'll tell you, and maybe this can be in the game. I think this is one of the most unpleasant splatters.
Okay.
Like, imagine you've just like worked for like hours making a soup or a stew.
Yeah.
Like a slow cooker stew.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like transferring it from the stove to like a second location. And then you trip over your cat and you drop the stew. And it splatters like all across the ground.
That's tragic.
It's the kind of splat that like is upsetting in so many ways.
Yeah. All that wasted time and effort and ingredients. Mm-hmm. And it's hot and it's everywhere. Mm-hmm.
And you have to clean it up. Hungry.
Soup splat. Yeah, you're hungry because you can't have the soup that you made. Your cat is probably licking at the soup that it made you spill.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really weirdly personal splatter.
It is. It's like an emotionally damaging splatter. I don't know if we can get like any emotionally damaging splatters into the game, but...
I think that should be all it is. I think this should be emotional, because this is where, you know, modern FPSs go wrong, because they're all about literal body splatters. You know, it's like they'll get like mud or rain on the game camera, or your enemies will gush blood when you shoot them. Boring. What if this is an FPS about emotional splatters? The good and the bad.
Yeah.
Because when I was thinking of one of the best splatters I've had recently, it was also a soup-based splatter.
Oh, no.
I was making a beautiful soup, beautiful vegetable soup, and I had a tomato that was just a little overripe, and I probably should have used it a couple days ago, but it wasn't like moldy. It was still a perfectly fine tomato, but it wasn't like a slice in tomato, you know? And so I was like, well, I'm going to put this in the soup, and I was like... It's not going to cut well. It's a soft tomato. So I just crushed it in my bare hand over the pot of soup. And that was such a primal and satisfying feeling of just being like, yes, yes. Like I was squeezing out the blood from an enemy's heart into my meal. But it didn't get everywhere. It splattered so bad.
But that's like a very positive emotional splatter.
Yes. And I think...
And empowering.
Yeah. I felt so good afterwards. And then I got to eat my soup, which is also right. helped that satisfaction.
You got the good ending.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if there's not a way... Because like FPSs have things like splash damage. They have mm-hmm. things like grenades and guns, and you get splashes that way. How can we make an FPS where you get fun, nice, emotional splashes?
That's a really big question. I feel like if game designers had cracked this code, they would have like done it by now.
No, no. I don't believe that, Jacob. I think we're here to guide them. We're here to guide them on their way.
Okay, so it's up to us then.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, because like, okay, if you're trying to evoke an emotional sensation, there's lots of ways to do that. You can do that with words. You can do that physically. Maybe this is an FPS where your weapon is a pot of soup and you're trying to dodge. You're trying to dodge so that you can maintain your soup, but you do have the option of splashing just a little bit on enemies you don't think you're going to be able to get around. Could we make a soup-based emotional splash Dark Souls?
This is, what a powerful phrase you've just said. A soup-based emotional splash Dark Souls?
So I'm thinking...
First person?
I'm thinking about...
Wait, where's the parasite, though?
I don't know. It's a great question. Is this not obtuse, though? Is this not obtuse
It's
enough?
Incredibly obtuse. Okay. I do like that. It's definitely that.
Yeah, where does the parasite fit in here? It's a good question. I guess I'm thinking about, like, in Souls games where sometimes you're... under-leveled for the area, but you still want to make it to like the next bonfire, so you'll just run, you'll just do mm-hmm. a sprint, and you won't actually
yeah
does that make sense?
So it's just like the run back of Dark
yes.
Souls as a full game where like you don't have a mechanism by which to fight the enemies, but what you do have is a big full pot of soup.
Yes.
And so like all the stuff you do in Dark Souls, the little tricks you do to try and like get through all the enemies to get back to the boss fog.
Yes.
As quick as possible. That's like the whole game.
Yes. Yeah. Jacob,
that's
I think
really
that's
fun.
A good idea.
I would genuinely play that. It also has like the vibes of like a rage game.
Okay.
Like an only up or like a, you know, one of those that everyone streams, then it gets really popular.
Yes. Yes.
So I think this is the kind of game you make and then the streamers pick it up.
Yeah. And that
and they're raging
the game.
And they're yelling. They got the thumbnail with them yelling.
Whoa!
Everyone's clicking. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's bebopping and scatting. They're clicking. They're playing. They're loving the game. They're giving
the
it lots of reviews
scatting,
on Steam.
For sure.
How loathsome.
How loathsome.
What a great word. Loathsome's such a good word.
It's
so
really
accurate.
Good.
I hope you're enjoying Big Game Hunger, and I hope you're enjoying all the other podcasts in the Multitude Collective. Pale Blue Pod, Exolore, Join the Party. These are some incredible shows. And if you wish you had more Multitude shows to catch up on, I have good news for you. Members of the Multicrew get a whole RSS feed full of bonus audio, including our newest show, The Multicrew Review. Every month, Julia of Spirits and Join the Party sits down with one of the other members of Multitude to talk about something that they love and that they think you'll love too. From video games to albums to activities like gardening, the members of Multitude show their passion and love with the hope that they can introduce you to something that you'll love as well. Along with Head, Heart, Gut, Multicrew Review is exclusively for members of Multicrew, our membership program that supports all of Multitude. Get Multicrew Review and Head, Heart, Gut, as well as our other audio exclusives by going to multicrew.club to sign up today. Are you a nerd, but also somebody who likes to dress nicely and kind of struggle to blend those two things that you love? Hey, I am right there with you. But if you're looking for gear that's going to make you feel and look pretty badass, may I recommend Volante Design? Their high-quality, handmade jackets bring that main character energy into your everyday life. They also bring just, like, style. You know, like, style? They have official licenses from series like Assassin's Creed, Devil May Cry. They've got Mass Effect jackets. If you've ever wanted an N7 Special Ops Mass Effect jacket, but also wanted it to be high-quality and well-made, Volante Design is here for you. So if you're ready to invest in a stylish and high-quality jacket, you can go to volantedesign.us, that's V-O-L-A-N-T-E, design.us, and use the code BGH, all caps, for 10% off your entire order. I will also put a link in the show notes of this episode for you to click on. That's BGH, all caps, for 10% off your entire order at Volante Design. You honed my idea in the perfect way, which is like a very focused game that is just the runback segments. That was always the frustrating part of Demon Souls for me, is that the runbacks on those levels are often way longer than they would end up being in later iterations.
Yeah.
And that got really annoying and frustrating, but there is something really fun about how Dark Souls builds in all of those shortcuts. And so there, each run, maybe each run of our game, this obtuse foul parasite game, is about finding those shortcuts to shorten the distance you need to carry your soup.
Yeah. Okay. So it is like a big, like, interconnected map situation.
Yeah.
Circling back on itself. So you can, like, unlock the gates that allow you to shorten your run back.
Yes, you start off in a Firelink shrine, but it is your kitchen. Maybe it's still medievally, and you have a giant cauldron of soup that you've made over the giant bonfire in the Firelink shrine.
Yes, I love that.
And maybe you're trying to get bonfire to bonfire to keep your soup warm because that's your weapon.
That makes so much sense. That makes so much sense. And then if it's in that kind of world, like a dark fantasy world,
yeah,
we can still get away with naming things insanely like they do in Dark Souls.
Yes.
Like, yes. The bosses and the enemies and the items and stuff. I don't know if there are items in this game. Probably not. The only item is soup.
Yeah. I mean, do we want to have... Maybe you can have power-ups that are like pepper.
Like, enhance the flavor of the soup.
Yeah.
Or you can, like, toss out a cloud of it to, like, make enemies... sneeze.
Ooh, okay, I like that. Yeah, I do like the idea of there being items that you can deploy into your soup or against enemies. And maybe it's the thing where it's like, maybe you get raided on your soup at the end of a level. So we didn't talk about what you're trying to get to. Are you trying to get to a big boss, or are you just trying to get your soup to a soup safe place?
So I really like the idea of like a Dark Souls boss, like a massive, disgusting creature that you're getting the soup to. And then it like just sort of hunches over with like a little spoon and like eats the soup once you get there. There's like not, or maybe there even is a boss fight, but it results in you feeding the soup to the monster.
I love the idea of the giant goblins that you're fighting at the end, having to stop and eat the soup. Here's what I love about that is the boss designs in the Dark Souls games are incredible, and I would hate to have a game that was in any way Souls-like that did not indulge in the insane soup-based enemies that we would have.
Yes.
Or they would all be like the hungry Griselda or something like that. Like,
yeah, totally.
What if you have a bunch of items, and those items can either be things you add to your soup to make your soup tastier, or they can be things you can use against enemies on the run back to make the run back easier? And you have to balance, are you going to make the soup more delicious, or are you going to use this salt as like a caltrop to knock enemies down,
like,
for your run
back? Crystals.
Yeah, yes.
So like someone on their first playthrough might use a lot of the ingredients to get through the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Resulting in, you know, subpar soup, which leads down like There's obviously multiple endings.
Yeah, of course.
That are very vague. But if you don't use enough ingredients, you walk like the path of the bland. Like you herald in an age of blandness. Like where the flavor is removed from the world.
Yes, everything becomes black and white.
Yeah. And so it's determined by like your choices in the game.
I love that. Yeah, it depends on it's determined by how good and how spicy your soup is and like how flavor packed it is. And so, yeah, I love that. I love the idea also that you could like start off doing a bland run, but then like halfway through you're like, "You know, I'm feeling pretty confident. We're going to go zest. We're going to go 100% zest run for the rest of this." Hopefully I can accumulate enough zest in order to get the zest ending, which I guess is going to be like the chaos ending of Elden Ring. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's got to be something like that. Or like spicy is like a very chaotic ending.
Yes.
And there's like a hard to get ending with the perfect balance of flavors. If you balance all your flavors, then you get the true ending.
The idea that you would go full zest and that would be the wrong choice, because obviously you have to have moderation. Mm-hmm. I love that. Okay. I love the idea of that. I think it's a five-sided thing that you see in like food manga, or really, I guess, any Japanese media where it has like the five different categories of, like in Pokemon, you have where it's like charming and strong and that sort of thing. One of those, I'm thinking of Dungeon Meshi. In Dungeon Meshi, they have the little quads for the different things that food do for you, basically. I love the idea of having that. And it is like bland, umami, zesty, sweet soup? Question mark.
Sweet soup. A little sweetness, you know, goes a long way.
That's true. You don't want to have sweet soup all the time for every soup. That would be crazy. But you will have to have that as part of your balance. And then maybe like sour. We'll finesse those in post. By which I mean when we're making the game, obviously.
Right after this podcast, when we immediately begin work for the next several years.
So I love the idea of having that. And that is your, at the end of each level, you get one of those and you see like, oh, I really went way too hard on the, I was going to say too hard on the ham. I went ham on the ham, too much umami flavor in this soup. Or like I had a lot of lemons and a lot of beans. So it was really hearty and tart, but it wasn't an overall good balance. And that's how
you've given
me
an idea, with what if the stats, instead of being like big flavors like that, what if one of the stats is just like beans and one of the stats is like just like things that go in soup? One of the stats is ham. I don't know why ham is so like prominently featured in the soup, but
a classic soup ingredient, I think a ham. Ham is.
Yeah, well, a nice like ham hock.
Yeah,
sure.
You put a little water in there, you got a stew going.
Got a nice little hammy broth.
Yeah. I do love that. Okay. I love it that it's like salt, pepper, ham, beans, tomatoes, herbs. You can really only make one kind of soup, but you're trying to make the best of that kind of soup.
I guess it's a different kind of soup if you just put nothing but beans in.
All beans and ham, it's a chili.
It's a chili, yeah.
Yeah. If it's all beans and tomato and herbs, it's kind of a minestrone.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If it's all salt and pepper, you fucked up.
Yeah, it's just gross water.
Yeah, you just made a bad health drink. Okay, I think that's really fun. I think that would be a fun game.
The question is, though, where's the parasite?
That is, yes, this is what I wanted to circle back to. I think it's obtuse, and I think we got the FPS. Kind of, we really went foul parasite more. Yeah, where is the parasite in this? Oh, Jacob, why is everybody in this world so hungry?
Because they have parasites.
Yeah, Jacob. Everybody has parasites. Everybody has stomach parasites, and that's why they're so hungry, and that's why you've gotta help cure them. I don't think you cure parasites with soup.
Well, this soup.
Okay, so the soup has seven categories. It has salt, pepper, ham, beans, tomato, herbs, and anti-parasite medicine.
Of course. The perfect balance of things.
Yeah, what the things every good soup needs. And so I think probably the anti-parasite, I wasn't joking, this is what we're doing. I think the anti-parasite medicine should have no purpose other than the soup. But I think you could do a run where you don't cure anybody. You just feed them soup, but then they still have a parasite and they still have to deal with that.
Well, I think that lets you, they'll keep needing the soup then because they're so hungry. So it lets you, you know, forge a path to power.
Wow.
In which you become sort of the king of the realm because you have access to the soup that everyone needs.
So the evil ending.
Yeah, you don't set the people free.
Of the parasites.
But then because it's like a Souls-like game, there's no like good endings. They're all like sort of bad in their own way.
Yeah.
So like if you cure all the parasites, you create a world where you're no longer necessary.
Whoa.
Like it's a better world, but you, the player, are worse off.
I think that's a really good neutral ending because you can argue that that's bad because it's like obviously you want to have a place in the world and you want to be a part of it. But it's ultimately like the goal of all charities should be to create a world in which that charity is no longer required. But that is not usually how charities are structured because they're just tax shelters in a large cases for a lot of charities in America. And so, hey, always research the charities that you give money to, everybody. But that even in and of itself has an interesting metaphorical parasite angle.
Oh, right. Like, will you be the parasite?
Yes.
That leeches off the people.
Yes.
Or will you become one who gets rid of the parasites?
Yeah. And that's...
Or...
Oh?
Third ending, you put more parasites in everyone.
Whoa.
And everyone sort of like, you know, shits themselves. It's like a poo-poo ending.
It's the lonesome dung eater
ending.
It's
the dung eater ending. You got to create the poo-poo world. Much like you do if you do the dung eater ending of Elden Ring.
Yeah. My least favorite ending is where you ally yourself with the loathsome dung eater and just turn the world to shit, comma, literal.
But it's so funny.
It is really funny.
To go through all that and be like, I'm going to make a gross, nasty poo-poo world. There's just no reason for it. And I think there's not supposed to be, right? It's like something's going on in your head. If you're going for this ending.
Some people just want to see the world burn and other people just want to see the world shit. And, you know, it's relatable. I feel like there's something essentially relatable to that, that gamers are going to love.
Gamers love shitting. This has been proven time and time again.
I'm thinking about, you remember when Ark dropped and they learned that your character just shits?
Yeah,
you remember that?
Gamers love that.
Yeah, gamers love that kind of fecal humor. Love.
Yeah,
it.
You remember Conker's Bad Fur Day?
Yes, that is when I was thinking of 90s gross culture. That was under that subheader. Although I think that might have been a 2000s game. I think that's really good. So you do have the option to put additional parasites in your soup that you're feeding to the bosses.
Yes, yeah. And we can come up with like a name for the parasites to like make it more obtuse.
Oh, we should. Yeah, a Dark Souls style name.
Yeah, like the invaders or the sucking ones. Like, I don't know.
Invaders is good, but I think it's already kind of used. I think it would be confusing. Although, no, I think it would be confusing. We could call them like the food eaters. And then there could be some classic Dark Souls confusions about who the food eater is. Is it the bosses or is it the thing in the bosses?
Is it the thing in the bosses, yeah.
Yeah. How do they do this at FromSoft, do you think? How do you think they brainstorm?
I feel like they have to come up with like a name like food eaters. And then I'm just going to open my phone right now and hit up the thesaurus.
Okay, I love that. This has been a really, this episode has been particularly informed by online dictionary and thesauri.
Okay, here we go. This must be how they do it.
Yeah.
We got words like comestible.
Whoa.
We got words like nutriment.
I like nutriment.
We got subsistence and sustenance and okay. Victual.
Victual.
What about like a victual? And then we'll also look up synonyms for eater.
I like victual because it feels very close to victory in a weird way.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe victual is what pops up when you feed a boss. That's instead of like God defeated, it's like victual success.
Right, yeah.
Something really obscure.
Victual provided or something. Oh, what about gorger?
Ooh, gorger is so good. That's so visceral and unpleasant while also being yeah. exactly what this is.
If there was something inside of you that was called a gorger, you would know that it was in there gorging itself and you would hate that. And that's nasty.
That is nasty. That is essentially nasty. Wow. Wow.
That's like an emotional splash of a word.
Yeah. I'm assuming the emotional splash part is how you threaten enemies on the run back, is that you can splash them, but if you splash too much, you're not going to have any soup left for the gorger yeah. and for the bosses.
It's just another way the game makes you make choices.
Yeah, it's all about choices, this FPS, which I guess is the first person's perspective, just two hands and a pot of soup.
And a pot of soup, yeah. Of course.
Okay, well then it has to be a 3D game, and it yeah. has to have realistic soup physics.
Yeah, for sure.
And so you're going to have to be able to see like all the beans and ham that you've put in the soup, like floating around in chunks. And like when you splash, you're going to see some of those beans and ham splash out too.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
But if we go for like a low poly sort of look, like mm-hmm. a PS1 era look, I think yeah. we can get away with not having to render each bean and ham chunk.
Yeah, that's a good point. I am flashing back to the Final Fantasy grapes, where the bundle of grapes were just one really good PNG.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, I love the idea of big solid ham chunks, but then also just one PNG for all the beans, because how are you going to depict them otherwise?
Yeah, one image of beans that flies out. And then the game is kind of just like neon white, but with soup.
Yeah.
You're like dodging that. And dashing and stunting.
Is the soup kind of your health bar? Like if you run out of soup entirely, are you dead on your run back?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I feel like that's really relatable because I do feel like my HP in real life is sometimes a soup bar. And when it gets low, it's like, I've got to get an Estus of soup over here.
I got to take a swig of that soup. I
got to hit my soup flask done. Up. Yeah. Okay. The gorger. I love gorger. Do we want to have a thing where it's like the bosses are also called gorger in like a weird way? Or do we want to have the big bosses have like a different category of name?
The bosses are gorge vessels.
Vessels is such a good Dark Souls word.
It's just Lord Vessel, but I replaced the word with gorge.
And it worked. What I'm learning is that making a Dark Souls game lore-wise is a lot easier than expected.
Yeah, you just say dumb things and then write lore to justify it.
And assume that the art department is going to carry a lot of the heavy lifting of making this serious sure. and good. God, that's really good. Gorge vessel. All right. Well, then we also need a term for you, the soup bearer, for like, because it's always like the
yeah, like Ashen One.
Yes.
Or
Maidenless One. I don't remember what it actually is in Elden Ring.
You're the Tarnished.
The Tarnished.
That's what it is.
Yes. We need one of that for this obtuse parasite FPS.
I mean, I do like Soup Bearer.
Soup Bearer is pretty good. Is it too on the nose? If you say no, then I will agree with you.
I think I kind of like it.
Okay. You're wrong. Heels
oh,
hurt.
Dang it.
That was
no,
a trap.
No.
It's stupid. Soup Bear is too obvious, Jacob. Come
it's
on.
It's happening.
We've got to push. We've got to push.
I feel unsafe.
I like Bearer and I like soup, so maybe that is fine. No, we need something better than soup.
You can't go back on it now.
No, it's...
Now that you've heel turned.
Yeah, I can't keep turning. This can't be a 360 heel turn where I turn and end up facing the same direction.
Yeah, it doesn't work if you like immediately apologize. Like, sorry, actually it was fine. I don't know what came over me.
I don't know why it was so spicy. It was the soup I had today. Yeah, what's a good... Maybe like morsel bearer. That's a little wordy, or it's a little syllabically heavy.
What about brew? I'm seeing brew.
Brew bearer? Ooh. Yeah,
because the soup is like a brew.
And then are you a brewbarian?
Oh, see, that's cute, but it's too cute.
It's too cute for the game, you're right.
It's too cute for the game. The game has to take itself incredibly seriously.
Of course it does. It's a Dark Souls-esque game.
Yeah, and that is from which the humor will be derived, is from its seriousness.
Excellent. Okay, I like brew bearer. You there, bearer of the brew.
Bearer of the brew.
Bearer of the brew. He comes. He comes for you, gorge
Rise
vessel.
Rise from your shack. Your filthy hovel. Emerge.
Put on your oven mitts, brew bearer. It is time. What are we naming this game?
Oh, man. Okay. We really got to think on this.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the most obvious would be Dark Soup. Dark Soups.
Dark Soups. That is the most obvious. And it is funny. If we were actually making this game, which we are.
Yes. Yeah.
Then, you know, Dark Soups would be a good name for marketability purposes.
Yeah.
Because people would see it and they would immediately know this is the Dark Souls of soup-based video games.
Yeah, especially because all of the PR and promo art that we make for it is going to be a pretty direct ripoff of Dark Souls. it's going to be some pretty hasty Photoshopping, if I had to guess what I'm going to do for this episode.
Right in the hands of that knight that's on the cover of Demon Souls.
Yeah. Yes, and a soup lid in their other hand where their shield is.
Could also be Demon Soup.
That implies something about the content of the soup. That is not, I don't think there's going to be demon in the soup. Whereas I do think there are going to be parasites in the soup. So a Dark Soups makes sense.
Oh no, see, that's where you're wrong. You forget it's demons with an apostrophe S soup.
Oh,
so
of
it's,
course.
It is the soup that the demons eat.
Okay, that's actually pretty good. Demons
much
soup.
Like Demon's Souls, the hardest game name to say correctly.
Oh god, that's tricky. I kind of like both of these.
Dark Soup.
Is it gonna be Dark Soup? I've already played my absolutely not, my no thank you improv card on Soup Bearer, so I don't know if I can play it on this one too.
I'm just trying to think if there's anything else like ladle, like
prepare to ladle.
Dark Soup. That's when they re-release it on PC.
Dark
Soup. Prepare to ladle edition.
Ladle. Unfortunately, I quite like Dark Soups. It's really grown on me. It was such a dumb thing to say out loud, but then I did. And when I look at it, I'm like, Dark Soups is the name of a game.
I'm just in case Googling synonyms for dark.
Okay, that's smart.
Just in case.
That's smart. I'm going to search Dark Soups to make sure nobody else has already used this incredible pun.
That would be wild if they had.
Google says, did you mean Dark Souls?
No, obviously. What's Dark Souls? We're talking about Dark Soups. All right, I got nothing.
Okay, I think Dark Soup is it.
Dark Soup is all I can think about. It's much like a parasite. It has entered my mind and now...
Feasts on your brain energy.
Yeah, it gorges.
Which of the endings are you going to go for?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I think like Elden Ring or like a Souls game, I think there have to be choices that you make that you have no idea you've locked yourself into one of the endings.
Yes. All right. That's fair.
So first playthrough is going to be whatever I happened to accidentally do. like in Elden Ring, I got the frenzied flame.
Oh, it's hard once you get that one. It's hard to unget that one.
Especially if you don't know how to unget it or if it's even possible. I just remember getting grabbed by the big hand and I was like, uh-oh. And then Melina was like, I'm out of here. I can no longer be your maiden. And I'm like, no, it's all going wrong.
I can't fuck with this. I'm out.
And Dark Soup has to be the same. There's like some really arbitrary things you can do.
Yeah, of course. You're going to befriend the prawn griller and then that's going to lock you into a prawn-based ending that you don't even know about. Oh, are we
going to put a prawn guy in our game?
We have to. Elden Ring really set the bar on prawn guys in games.
It did. Like, I don't want to play a game with no prawn man in it.
No, even though that guy hated me and I I loved him, but that was not reciprocated.
It was one-sided.
Yeah. That's what made him an ideal NPC. Great. Okay, Dark Soups. Stupid. Jacob, do you have anything
no,
to plug?
No, it's good. Yeah, I'll plug. I'm on Drawfy. It's a drawing comedy YouTube channel. You can go there and subscribe to it. I'm also on Secret Sleepover Society, which is mine and Julia's video game streaming Twitch. And we've got a YouTube channel for that as well under the same name. And that's my stuff.
You should hang out, but not back talk Jacob.
Don't back sass me.
Come for you.
In the Twitch.
You little pigeon on the beach.
Don't awaken the catfish.
Big Game Hunger is a part of the Multitude Collective of podcasts created and hosted by Jenna Stever. To support this show directly, subscribe at patreon.com/thejenna. Every month, subscribers can submit prompts that get added to the ingredient list, help guide the podcast, and our brainstorming at patreon.com/thejenna. And if you're enjoying it, please spread the word so that other people can enjoy it too. Or maybe leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That would be cool of you to do. Jacob, what's one word, adjective, gameplay type, premise, etc. that you would like to add to the ingredient list?
I was trying to think of like an adjective that might be, you know, much like obtuse, like difficult to, or a little weird to work into a game.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking hesitant.
Hesitant. Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Not a lot of hesitant games.
No, but I'm
out there.
I like the idea of trying to conceptualize what that would mean for a game. That's a really good submission. Thank you for joining me today, Jacob.
Thanks for having me. This was so much fun. I genuinely want to play Dark Soup.
Thank you, audience, for listening to Big Game Hunger. And don't forget to wishlist Dark Soups on Steam. Release date, TBD.